What's the difference between brokenness and repentance? I've written a column in the Latest Issues, Etc. journal titled Personal Brokenness. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Alfonso Espinosa writes about being raised a nominal Roman Catholic and finding the saving gospel in the Lutheran Confession. The free online Issues, Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Dabo, there are a few coaches in any sport who show more joy than you do. How do you describe the joy of the moment? For me personally, joy comes from focusing on Jesus, others, and yourself.
And again, I want to thank my constituents from San Francisco who have entrusted me to represent them in Congress in the spirit of St. Francis, the patron saint of San Francisco. And his Song of St. Francis is our anthem. Make me a channel of thy peace.
Our culture loves to justify sin, and we're seeing people who are looking for substitute saviors. Instead of repenting and turning to the only one who can save them, they instead look to justify their behavior so there's nothing to repent of.
So that this time of forsakenness and being cast off, Jesus would also undergo, not because of his sin, but because of the sins of the world. He would bear those sins for us, so that we might be close to God and never forsaken by Him.
Wisconsin snowplow drivers love Issues, Etc.
It is a convoluted story there in the second chapter of Matthew's Gospel. It's a story of deception and intrigue and God revealing things that had not been revealed in the way that they are now. It is apropos of the season of the church year, Epiphany, that we remember the visit of the wise men, these Gentile, well, what were they? We don't exactly know what they were, and in the end, it doesn't matter. They were Gentiles. That's what matters, and that God is revealing the light of His Christ to them as well, not only in the star that heralded His birth, but in the child himself. They go, they worship, they bring Him gifts, but that triggers a series of events in Jerusalem, in the king's palace, that leads to the death of other children and the flight into Egypt and the fulfillment of a prophecy that you won't find in the Old Testament in so many words: he shall be called a Nazarene. We're going to be talking about all those aspects of the visit of the wise men as we teach a Sunday school lesson on this Tuesday afternoon with Pastor Tom Baker. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our conversation with Pastor Baker, Dr. Stanis Stanley joins us. We're going to talk about Hinduism's Kumbhel Festival. It involves the river. It involves washing away sins, but it probably isn't anything like Christian baptism or the forgiveness of sins. We'll find out what it is. Dr. Scott Murray and Pastor Ben Ball join us as we continue a series, Pastors and People. Today, there's a baptism at your Lutheran church. The child's Methodist grandparents are in attendance, and they want to commune. What does the pastor do? We'll be talking about closed communion with Dr. Scott Murray and Pastor Ben Ball here in the studio in hour two of Issues, Etc. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson on the visit of the wise men in Matthew 2, Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you very much.
Why did God direct the wise men to go seek after the baby Jesus? It's very obvious that this is God's doing here. Why did He do it?
God always has a purpose in everything that He is doing. And in this case, one of the great mysteries that the Old Testament doesn't make as clear as the New Testament is that Jesus will be Savior not only of the chosen people, namely the Jews, but also of the Gentiles. And it's really interesting how the birth of Jesus is celebrated, first of all, by shepherds who are not even allowed into the temple proper because of their uncleanness in working with sheep. And second of all, these wise men who are Gentiles. So right from the very beginning, where you would expect God to go and tell the religious leaders about the birth of the Messiah, he instead goes to two unclean groups of people, the shepherds and the wise men. And so we're not really sure how the wise men found out about Jesus, but there were believers in that area. They were probably from where what we call Iraq right now. And during the captivity of the Israelites, remember Daniel, there were those who came to faith because of even Daniel. And so it's not unusual that we would think that they were certain individuals who had come to faith. They were not particularly wise. That word is also used in Daniel to talk about the men that King Nebuchadnezzar brought forward to interpret his dream, and they were not able to do that. Daniel was the one. And they were not really considered kings until later on, a few centuries ago, from the time of the birth of Jesus. But it is clear that at this point, these were Gentiles who had come, and they actually worshiped the king.
So they see this star. How would you explain, in simple terms, like the Sunday school children are going to wonder about this particular star that they see?
Yes, there are those who have attempted to figure out what star would have been around at that time. But the fact of the matter is, we're not really sure particularly how that star came about. It's found in Matthew 2 when they say, "For we saw his star when it arose and have come to worship him." Here they're talking, of course, about Jesus, and they're talking to King Herod. So they probably linked what was maybe a natural astronomical phenomena, but more likely, most of us believe that the star was a miraculous event because it had disappeared when they got to Jerusalem, but when they went towards Bethlehem, it reappeared. And so I don't have any problem thinking of it as a supernatural event that God set up. And in their understanding of the star, it meant that somebody important had been born, and from their understanding of the Old Testament, they came to think that this was the King of the Jews.
So, do we have any hint as to what in the Old Testament they may have been thinking of when they associate the appearance of this star with the birth of the King of the Jews?
Well, there's no doubt that Jesus is referred to as the morning star a number of times in the Old Testament. And therefore, if they had read any of it and of the prophecies concerning it, they would have considered, therefore, this bright light perhaps to be the morning star. Some of us would think that the morning star sometimes could refer to the sun coming up or to Venus, but it was the break of day, and it was getting rid of the night, the darkness. And, of course, the darkness was always standing for Satan and those who were in the darkness of unbelief. And that Jesus, the Messiah, was often referred to as the light that would come into the world. And therefore, one can understand how they began to think of the star that they saw as, and perhaps this was from special revelation from God, because he was busy in giving that special revelation to Mary and Joseph. And you'll recall he even went to the wise men after they had seen the child and informed them not to return to Herod, but to go a different way to their own country. So the Bible just doesn't really explain all of these matters and just simply gives the history of how it happened, or that it happened, but how it happened sometimes remains a mystery to us.
They go to Jerusalem, and it simply says they went to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? And we've seen his star as it rose and have come to worship him." It is Herod who initiates the first contact with the wise men. What is Herod's concern?
Yes, he wants to know where the Christ was to be born. And he was very troubled. And I tell you, once the king is troubled, all Jerusalem with him is troubled. Because you never know what he's going to be doing when he becomes troubled over an event. And so he inquired of the chief priests and scribes of the people where he was to be born. And they take a look at the Old Testament, and then they find out from Micah that he was to be born in Bethlehem in the land of Judah. And Bethlehem are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So they figure out that he was to be born in Bethlehem, and Herod then calls the wise men secretly, and he asks them what time the star had appeared. It wasn't long ago I began a sermon indicating that a lot of times we'll see a stable with Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus and shepherds, sometimes sheep, and three wise men and their camels. Would anybody disagree with that, I asked, and hardly anyone did, until I reminded them that the wise men actually came sometime after Jesus was born. He was not there on the night of what we call Christmas, when the birth of Jesus took place. But when he asks them what time the star appeared, they just were thinking, well, he wants to know when we saw it. And then he tells them, go down and search diligently for the child. When you find him, bring me word that I may come to worship him. And then they go ahead, and the star again leads them to Jesus. But we find out later, when Herod discovers, and this is really verse 16 and following, when he discovers that he was tricked by the wise men, he becomes furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem, in that region, who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. So some scholars would believe that the wise men came about a year later, and Herod, just to keep his numbers in safety for his point of view, decided any child 2 years and under would be put to death who had been born in Bethlehem. And so this was kind of interesting that he was trying to trick the wise men all the time as to when the star had been seen, for the purpose of going to kill the children of that age. It's always surprised me that Herod, though he agrees with the scribes that the child's going to be born in Bethlehem, which is God's word, how he thinks he's going to be able to go and kill the child is beyond me. I've never been able to figure that out. If this is what God says, and that there's promises connected to what this child will do, how did Herod give any thought that he'd be able to get rid of this child? Well, the devil is pretty strong, and therefore his temptations and Herod's self-interest in being the only king of the Jews at that time overwhelmed his biblical sense that, yes, the child was born in Bethlehem, but thinking that he'd be able to kill the child is quite amazing to me. It shows how powerful Satan can be, even when you have God's clear word about the birth of the Messiah and many other words in the Old Testament as to what he's going to do, which could not have happened had Herod been successful in killing Jesus.
Does it demonstrate to you that he has that kind of knowledge, that Herod has a kind of knowledge that later in Jesus' ministry, many of his opponents will. They know full well that he's claiming to be the Christ. And sometimes in some of the Gospels, it even sounds like they may even know he is the Christ, or at least that he came from God. But nonetheless, they still plot to kill him.
Yes, probably the best example of that is Jesus' raising of Lazarus from the dead. because this is the last straw for many of them. They did not deny that Lazarus had been raised from the dead. What they denied is that Jesus had done it as the true promised Messiah. They thought it was a trick of Beelzebub, which most of his miracles they also considered to be tricks of the devil, not really the hand of God upon Jesus. Even though John the Baptizer disciples, when they went to Jesus and asked, "Are you the one, or is there somebody else we're waiting for?" He told them, "Go back and tell John, the deaf hear, the blind see, the mute speak, the lame walk, the dead are raised." Well, guess what? Those were signs and prophecies from the Old Testament, particularly Isaiah, talking about how you're going to know when the Messiah arrives, these kinds of signs or miracles will be taking place. But these signs and miracles, I just did a Bible study on this, were only meant for believers. I can't think of one miracle that ever converted an unbeliever to faith. The only way an unbeliever is converted to faith is by word and sacrament, not by miracles. Miracles are meant for believers who then can ascertain. And that's what Epiphany is all about. The revelation and the appearing of the work and purpose of Jesus the Messiah. And this is what this is really dealing with.
We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Tuesday afternoon, the visit of the wise men in Matthew chapter 2. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to that at our website, issuesetc.org. Listen on demand. We'll be right back, and we'll talk about the wise men's worship of the baby Jesus.
It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Be Strong and Courageous from Joshua 1:9 is the theme for the 41st academic year at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment and provide an alternative to secular public high schools. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the giving page or call me, Dr. Jay Krause, principal at 618-656-0043.
Sanctifying your vocations with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues Etc.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
What's the difference between brokenness and repentance? I've written a column in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Personal Brokenness. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Alfonso Espinosa writes about being raised a nominal Roman Catholic and finding the saving gospel in the Lutheran Confession. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson. Today we're looking at the visit of the wise men and all of Matthew chapter 2. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest of the radio show Law and Gospel. Tom, so the wise men are directed by Herod to go to Bethlehem and search diligently for the child. They go, the star appears yet again, and it literally leads them to the house where the child is. And when they enter, it says that they offer him gifts, but it also says that they worship him. What should we make of that worship?
Well, there's nothing that's really symbolic in the Bible. Even the names of people have, like Jesus, he saves us, is the meaning of that. Their treasures are very important. Now, a lot of people think, how many wise men were there? There were three of them, they think, because there were three gifts. But the Bible doesn't say that. In fact, the Old Testament indicates that a number of camels will be coming and also bringing him gold and frankincense. Now, each of the gifts, therefore, are symbolic of something. Gold is symbolic of his being a king. Frankincense was a perfume also used in worship. We had a Professor Hummel at our Concordia Seminary in St. Louis who often in his worship would use incense, a form of kind of frankincense, as the prayers of the saints. And finally, they brought myrrh. Both frankincense and myrrh are perfumes, but myrrh is particularly one used in the burial of an individual. And in that burial, myrrh, the perfume, is used for the purpose of keeping down the odor of the dead body. Well, how would you like to be Mary, and a wise man brings to you for your child embalming fluid? Well, how did they know that? Well, once again, the Old Testament is very clear that the Messiah would be, as John the Baptizer said, the Lamb of God who's come to take away the sin of the world. And the Lamb of God, the lambs were often used as sacrifices of blood, not that they forgave sins, but they pointed forward to the Lamb of God that would come to take away the sins of the world. And I tell you, even Genesis 3:15, it's clear that Jesus is going to be wounded by Satan, even though he will crush Satan's head. And so many passages, Isaiah 53, by his stripes we are healed. Psalm 22, he will be pierced in both hands and feet. Now, when David wrote that, there was no crucifixion at that time. So I'm not even sure he knew what he was writing, what it meant that he would be pierced in hands and feet, but the Holy Spirit guided him, and that's why the Apostle Paul says what remains a mystery in the Old Testament books now becomes clarified in the fulfillment of those promises as we see the true meaning of them.
As you mentioned before, the wise men are instructed by God in a dream not to return to Herod, so they go back to their home country by another way, it says. Now it says, when they had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and warns him to take the child to Egypt. What's going on there?
Well, Herod is getting ready to kill the children in Bethlehem. And so it also is an interesting fulfillment of another promise. Out of Egypt, I have called my son. So Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, they go to Egypt until Herod dies. And they don't return to Israel until after that. But once more, we've got a number of occasions in this time frame where angels and normally Gabriel or Michael are speaking to humans to give them information so that the promises of God can be fulfilled. Zechariah heard, well, you're going to have a son who will be a wonderful individual preparing the way of the Messiah, plus he will be filled with the Holy Spirit from his birth. And then Joseph has a dream that no, Mary is not pregnant with another man, but she is pregnant because of God's will. Therefore, take her to be your wife, which he does. Then you got the angels warning the wise men to return another way. And you have the angel talking again to Joseph about going down to Egypt. So when God makes a promise, he may step in, as he did in those days, to fulfill that promise. That's the wonderful thing we can understand from the wise men. And the children really need to learn this, that God's promises always are true. And therefore, yes, the wise men gave gifts to Jesus, but now Jesus gives gifts to us, which the children received in holy baptism. And therefore, they can be absolutely confident that the promise that he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, among many others, like Romans chapter 6, is a tremendous chapter to see how all the benefits of the cross and the resurrection are applied to us by the sacrament of holy baptism, and again for adults in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper.
The return of the wise men, where they realize that they, by God's warning, that they should not be dealing with Herod, sparks Herod's anger, and he kills the infant boys in Bethlehem. First of all, you had mentioned that he's kind of like trying to play it safe there. This guy was really known for this kind of activity, even among his own family members, wasn't he?
Oh, yes. Yes, he was not a nice man at all. And that's part of the reason why all of Jerusalem was troubled when he was troubled, because he would take his anger out on other people that he thought were responsible. And in this case, he took them out on the babies in Bethlehem because he was trying to safeguard his position as being king of Israel.
So how would you describe the law and gospel of this rather complicated story of the visit of the wise men for the Sunday school children?
I think what we need to realize is, yes, during Christmas there's a joyous time, but there's also this occasion when it becomes clear that the baby Jesus was born in order to die. And our greatest fear, every human's greatest fear, is the fear of death. And what Jesus, the Christ child, does, he takes that death upon himself on the accursed tree, the cross, in order that we might be freed from the curse of the law. And that curse is, in the day that you sin, you know, death is going to be the result. Well, it was a result, but for those who have faith in the promises of Jesus Christ, that death was taken by him rather than by us. And so we can therefore be confident that, yes, we will die naturally, but it will be an entrance right into heaven for the believer in the spirit as we wait for that day of final judgment, when our spirits will be rejoined with our bodies.
One other question on the text of chapter 2 for you, Tom. It ends with the Holy Family going to Nazareth, and it ends by saying it is to fulfill what was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. What does that mean?
Yes, that in the Old Testament, there was no doubt the idea that Jesus was going to be a Nazarene. Nazareth was a despised place, and someone coming from there would also be despised. Now, it was the former home of Joseph and Mary, and it is not referred to by one prophet at all that that's where he's going to be, but by the prophets in general, that this Messiah would be one who is despised by the people. And therefore, when it says he will be called a Nazarene, you know, we have certain cities that are kind of despised because of their crime, etc. You could say, for example, the south side of Chicago, there's a lot of crime. And let's say you know somebody and you're trying to make fun of him or put him down. He said, well, you sound like you're coming from the south side of Chicago. And that's what is meant when it says that he will be called a Nazarene. He's kind of from the south side of Israel, where those people were kind of despised and looked down upon. So even though no Old Testament prophet specifically mentions that, it's being used in a sense where people who hear it will understand, oh, so he's going to be one of the despised, namely the Messiah. And even Isaiah talks about that, that he's despised by men, even though God the Father says at his baptism, the transfiguration, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, Dr. Stanis Stanley joins us. We're going to talk about Hinduism's Kumbh Festival. He's pastor in the Indian Evangelical Lutheran Church. Stay tuned. Several Issues Etc. regular guests are candidates for leadership positions in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Every LCMS congregation has received nomination forms for the president and vice presidents of the synod. Please encourage your pastor and congregational leaders to fill out and return these nomination forms before February 20th of 2019. Learn more at issuesetc.org/nominations. issuesetc.org/nominations.
Concordia University Chicago's music programs will support your aspirations, whether you want to pursue a professional career in music or simply improve your skills. Experience a wide variety of musical learning and performance in a Christian environment. Auditions for music scholarships will be held February 9th, 16th, and 18th, open to both music majors and non-majors. Admitted students register today by logging into connect.cuchicago.edu.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
The Lord is our shepherd, and we are the people of his pasture. Why then do we still suffer in this life? Disease, loneliness, persecution. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm collaborating with Cheryl Swope, Molly Hemingway, and a host of literary friends in He Restores My Soul, a book that takes an honest look at hardship and heartache in light of God's promises found in his word. He Restores My Soul is now available at emmanuelpress.us. emmanuelpress.us.
You can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to, you know, help them to get a sense of, A, you know, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu.